Take your Bibles and go to the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 to 17. It's a wonderful passage. People make this statement, time goes by so quickly, or time flies. I think a good reply to that should be something like this. Well, since time flies, make sure God's the pilot. The older you are, the faster the time passes. 2016 is almost gone. We're 17 years past recovering from Y2K. I remember that. I remember 1999 very clearly. And we had water for 6 months, I think, in our house. We didn't have to turn on a faucet. We are 5 years removed. We're 5 years past when the heathen Mayan calendar said the earth was going to be destroyed in 2012. Amen. That was the talk, you know. 2012's coming, the end of the world. Where'd you get that from? Some pagan calendar. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In the New Testament, God's description of our life is a vapor. I think of a tea kettle with steam coming out of it. And you see it white, and then as it dissipates, as it rises. In the Old Testament, in Job and Psalms, God says, he remembered that we are but flesh, a wind. So in the New Testament, we're a vapor. In the Old Testament, we're a wind, and that's several times in there. Our life is just a wind. You feel it, and then you don't. God is not saying in this passage, don't prepare for future. But if you'll take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 12, God is saying, don't plan for the future as if it's guaranteed. We'll come back to James 4 here, but look at Luke chapter 12. I just want to show you these two passages, and I think they ought to control our decision-making and our thinking. Luke chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and look at verse number 15. I'll read this to you quickly. Luke 12, 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I love that statement. They said Rockefeller was the richest man that's ever lived. He was five times richer than Bill Gates. Bill Gates is supposed to be the richest man in the world. He was five times richer than Bill Gates. Do you know how much money he left when he died? All of it. He left all of it. Just like everybody when they die. Here, verse 16. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, this verse right here, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I know that this parable here that Jesus tells is a story concerning you need to be careful what you invest in. But it's also an illustration of how God says, you don't know when you're going to die. You fool. I'll require your soul of you tonight. Then all that stuff that you've got, whose will it be? You can die at any time. Now go back to James 4. We'll stay in James 4 here. God says that a fool plans for the future without considering God in your plans. I'm thankful for all our church has going on. I'm thankful we have church services. We go soul winning every week. We have activities. Our calendar is planned out for next year. I've got that. You can come and see it on the wall in there in my office. We will vote on our budget for 2018 next month. God tells us to plan and schedule. To everything there is a time. Ecclesiastes 3:1, Proverbs 6:6 through 8, Proverbs 24:27, Proverbs 30:25. We are to prepare, but tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. So God tells us to say, you're now James chapter 4, look at verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. God says, we should be saying, if God's a part of my plans and if what I'm doing's right, then I should be able to say then, well, Lord willing, I'll be there. Here's another statement. By God's grace, I'll make it. How about this one? With the Lord's strength, I'll do that. And here in the Bible, he says, for that you ought to say, he said, what you ought to be saying is this. It's not don't plan, it's just put God in your plans. The Lord willing will do this or that. He said that ought to be in our statement as a Christian, with the help of God. These are statements of faith. These aren't things lazy people say because they don't want to take the time to live by schedule or prepare. We've sung the praises of God in this auditorium. We've prayed many times for those that were sick and hurting. We've left here and went soul winning Saturday and Tuesday. We have wept in this same room and mourned the loss of those the Lord has taken home. God didn't show us January 1st of this year all that we would go through. Aren't you glad God doesn't show you everything? If you would have told me as a 16-year-old boy, when you reach this certain age, you're going to be preaching in a church, I'd have probably passed out. If you'd have known me as a kid. This January 1st in a couple of months, 2018, God's not going to show us all that we're going to go through next year. God wants us to trust Him day by day. He's the only one who knows what tomorrow holds because He's the only one who holds tomorrow. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God says, I'll give you strength to go through everything that you're going to go through day by day. I'm not going to give you strength today to go through what you're going to go through next year. With whatever you're facing, God says, when that happens, I'll give you the strength for that. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. God doesn't tell us what's going to be tomorrow, but He does say this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This future's scary for all of us because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know this. I have God's promise. God's going to be with me. Amen. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't think I faced my last battle. I don't think I faced my last struggle. But whatever the future holds and whatever pain is in the future, God says, I will be with you through it all. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have many hopes for our church. I love seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. There's no greater joy than watching the Lord work in a Christian's life and then watching them grow spiritually. It means so much to see God use people in our church to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To see the Lord work and answer prayer. It's beautiful for situation. And I hope to see more people saved. I'm looking forward to our spring attendance building program in the spring. But none of that may happen. Or all of that could happen and we won't be a participant. Right? Verse 14, James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I know we can't live it at sprint speed. Like if somebody said this, if God told you you were going to die next week, what would you spend your last week doing? Well, I know you can't live your whole life that way. You understand? You know, stay up, not sleep. You got to sleep sometime. You can't live your life in a sprint. But knowing that you don't have tomorrow should affect your decisions today. It should affect your thinking. You see, okay, God says, consider the fact that the best laid plans depend on the Lord. Plans are righteous. I mean, plans that are righteous, plans that are good, and there's nothing sinful, there's nothing selfish about them, they still depend on God enabling you to breathe, God enabling you to walk, and God enabling you to work. Everything needs hopes of serving God and being used to the Lord, knowing what? Knowing that we need God. Just because we have hopes and dreams, we shouldn't take one step without God's leadership or blessing. Did you know in St. Mary's County last year, did you know that 20 people died in one of the 1,300 accidents that were in this county alone? Car accidents now. There were 20 deaths. That means last year, 20 people got in the car and never returned home. When we part, we need to say, Lord willing, because it's not certain what life or the world is going to be allowed to bring our way, and we don't know what God has for us. You should live by a schedule. You should plan and budget your finances so that you can take care of the responsibility of the obligations you've taken on. But after you've planned, scheduled and budgeted, you should hit your knees and say, God, keep me employed, please. Lord, help me be able. Lord, help me do the right thing and provide for my family. You know, and if you ever start taking life for granted, go to the hospital and go to the cancer ward. It's a real, real, real wake-up call. Go to the children's cancer ward. Walk through there and try to make them smile and help them. 6 years old, 8 years old, cancer, chemo, bald. It helps you know I'm not going to live forever. And then when you can walk out of there and they can't, and there's some in wheelchairs and you're walking, I can walk. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. I was taking it for granted before I went into the hospital. I can move my hands. Wow. Praise God for my health. God, please help me do the right thing and provide for my family. We should be praying, Lord willing, we should plan on raising our children for the Lord, and we should pray, Lord, please help me, and I will love you more when that little girl is 15 than I did when she was 5. Lord, please help me raise my boy for you, and I'll work hard at being more dedicated to you when he is 16 than I did when he was 6. When you set out on that right path and the right intent, you should say, Lord willing. Now look at James 4:13. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. We don't even know how today's going to end. Amen? I hope it ends well. I have high hopes. But we don't know how it's going to end. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the year. The holidays are coming upon us. We have high hopes. I do. But I don't know what it holds. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And then this statement, God tells us, for what is your life? You say, well, I'm a plumber. That's not your life. That's a detail of your life. Your job, your financial status, your location, your experience, those are details of your life. But God asks the question, what is your whole life? And God says it's a vapor. That means you can see a vapor, but you can't. When you go to grab it, it disappears. I can see it, but I can't touch it. It's here, it's gone. It appears, it vanishes. You see it, then you don't see it. Here we go. If you just take and meditate on this statement, your life is not permanent. Your life cannot be grasped. It cannot be held on to. When you look at pictures of the past, you look at pictures of our church, who's now in heaven? Who's serving the Lord now? When you look at pictures of those who've gotten saved, when you look at pictures of those who are now backslidden, out of church, on the FBI most wanted list. look, there's a church building as an assistant pastor in Tennessee I gave my life to, in putting on the siding and drywall and building and welding. And I mean, I gave weeks of my life to that building, away from my family. It doesn't exist anymore. I can't go by and drive by and say, see that building right there? I helped with that. And I just knew when we were building that Sunday school extension, it was 18,000 square foot Sunday school extension on our church. Man, doing the roof work, and I was on my back painting the cathedral ceiling. Learn how to work one of those big power spray. I mean, I was doing all that. I just knew one day when my kids are older, I'll be able to point to that church building and say, yeah, I helped with that. Got my fingerprints all over it. And then the day came. They went financially broke. And the whole property's gone. What I gave weeks and hundreds of hours to, it doesn't exist anymore. I don't have last year. I do have today, and it's a privilege to be alive and serve the Lord today. God doesn't say in the Bible, don't plan. God says plan. Our young people should plan on getting married. But the boys need to learn how to work hard and manage money and live holy so that they can lead and set the example in the home when they get married. You have today to live for the Lord and to do things God's way and to do what you were saved to do. When you get up each morning, what you should be saying is, since I have today, I want to do God's will. What is God's will? What is the cause of Christ? Look, that's the only thing. That's the only thing. And I know some of you have given your, have experienced what I just mentioned to you about pouring your life into a physical building, and then the building doesn't exist anymore. But how do you make it through that? When I was doing that, I was in the middle of God's will. And you know what God used that building to teach me? It's what I became when I was working it. God grew me. God grew me. I learned a lot. I learned a lot of lessons, even though the building doesn't exist anymore. The cause of Christ is what should consume me. It's what should consume each of us. All you have any say over is, what does God want me to do today? I am going to get up Sunday morning, get my Bible, and I'm going to go to church. You say, why? Because that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to get my Bible and go to church Sunday night. You say, why? Because that's what God wants me to do. I hope you get to meet the young people. I hope you get to meet the man or the woman that God has for you. I hope you get to retire. I hope you stay in good health and you get to put away money in the bank. I hope your exercise and your eating right pays off. But all I know is that you have today to do God's will and live for the Lord. Today is all you have. Today is all you have. You should lay out the course for your life and plan to do God's will. But if you don't say, Lord willing, I'm going to do today what God wants me to do, then your reliance is on yourself, and that's foolish. If the plans for your life don't include God, if your plans for your marriage don't include God, if the plans for your job doesn't include God, if your plans for college don't include God, if your plans for your family don't include God, if the plans for your retirement don't include God, if your plans for death don't include God, then you're living like a fool. You're living like a fool. This world is full of fools, and you don't want to have to be one of them. You don't have to be one of them. Our life is a vapor. Think of it this way. The earth is 6,000 years old. It's been 6,000 years since God said, "Let there be light." That's going back. Then God describes the future as in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So in the thousands of years to come, the earth is already 6,000 years old. In the thousands of years to come, God says, try to wrap your head around that. And I only have 70 years on this earth. I'm just a vapor. Our life is a vapor. Look at a picture of someone you haven't seen for 30 years. What do you always say? Wow, are they old? And then it hits you while you're looking at the picture. When they see yours, they think the same thing. Wow, is he old? Your life is a vapor. The part of your life you can see, but when you look back, it's not there anymore. God says, it is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Your life goes full circle. Look, when you're a little kid, you put the kid in a chair with wheels on it, and they bump around the room and they eat applesauce and they don't have any hair, no teeth, right? And then when you get older, your kids put you in a chair with wheels and you bump around the room and you eat applesauce and no teeth and no hair, right? It just goes full circle. Okay, because this is true. We should say, if the Lord will, James 4:15, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, whatever you're planning, don't leave God out of it. This Thanksgiving, what are you going to do? I hope you have a good time, but don't leave God out of Thanksgiving. This Christmas, what are you going to do? I want you to have a great time, but don't leave God out of it. When it comes to your giving, don't leave God out of it. We've got to buy cat food. We've got to buy dog food. We've got to buy cable and internet. We've got to buy our phone service, but we don't have to help the missionaries? I think our priorities are goofy. It's not that I don't want you to have a phone. It's just what we have to do, what I must do at all costs. That's our highest priorities. What's sad to me is when nothing is of the Lord in that area. I think you ought to put God first instead of putting Visa and MasterCard first. God's will should be important in every area of your life as His child. If you have a schedule, God should be in it. James 4:16. Now you rejoice in your boastings. Watch this. In James 4:16, God says, all such rejoicing is evil. Evil. That's, if I take the word of God and just think about it, that means when I say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get this one day, we rejoice in what we want to do. It is boasting. Listen, if I brag on what I did, it's praising God if I say, look what God did. When your plans center around you, and your chief advisor for your life is you, it's evil. Because God doesn't influence. That's what's sad. Where is the Lord's influence? Where's the Lord's counsel? The last verse in chapter 4 It's very practical. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God says, therefore. In other words, you read verses 13 through 16. God says, because your life is a vapor and you don't know what tomorrow holds, therefore. So you put that in the passage. Anytime you come to a therefore in your Bible, you need to look why it's therefore. Then that means the only thing you know you have is today. When you see how uncertain and how unguaranteed you are of tomorrow, then do something good today. If you see that God is in control and you're not, then do something good today with your life. Start living for Jesus today. Start serving the Lord today. Well, one of these days I'm going to make God number one in my life. Why not today? James 4:17 says, to him that keeps putting it off and putting it off when he didn't have to, and he didn't have to, God says, that's sin. Because you have today. You have today. This morning, the message is, our life is a vapor. It is even a vapor. I want you to plan on having a happy life. But since we don't even know how the day is going to end, then live for the Lord now. Do good now. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Have you ever noticed whenever you ask a lost person passing out tracts, hey, can I show you how to go to heaven just according to the Bible? Well, I've never murdered anybody. I'm not a bank robber. I'm not a serial killer. They always go to the things they're not doing. Have you ever noticed that whenever you ask a Christian, hey, have you ever decided to serve the Lord and you ever going to dedicate your life to the Lord? The same response. I'm not a murderer. I didn't kill anybody last week. It's the same response. But the verse there in James 4:17 isn't talking about what you haven't done. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. When you could have done what God wanted you to do and you didn't, that is sin. And what's sad is when you're doing what you want to do, you're not doing what God created you to do. And it's not necessary, well, I wasn't making moonshine in my backyard. Well, good, I'm glad you weren't making moonshine in your backyard. I don't think it was that sinful. But all the good that God created you to do, that you have a short period to do it before you die, it goes undone. James 4:17 is a very powerful verse. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Christian, be careful. This morning's message is, our life is a vapor. Our life is a vapor. I hope this is an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that, Lord, you could use this message. Lord, this wonderful section of Scripture. Help us, please, to see our life in perspective. And, Lord, and give you control. I just need to ask the question. You say, preacher, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. God tells you that you can know for sure. Is there anybody like that? Say, preacher, I'd like to know how to go to heaven. You just slip up your hand. And Christian, what is your life? It is even a vapor. Let's all stand.